You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King. For this show, the Grizzlies go out and beat the Lakers. They get a win against the Lakers on Monday night. So that was fun. We'll talk about that game, and we'll also talk about the tankathon, the backwards standings, if you will, and where the Grizzlies are at in that in those standings as well. It'll be a little bit of a shorter show today just because there's no guest. I just had the game to talk about, plus a little bit of tankathon as well. We'll get a little the tankathon a little bit more in depth tomorrow. We'll talk with Joe Mullenix on tomorrow's show as well from Grizzly Bear Blues and his weekly spot and get his thoughts on everything. Again, the Grizzlies lose over the weekend to some games that we thought they might win against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And the game against the Lakers, who are a bad team, but I still thought with LeBron James, they still go in, and I just thought that's how bad the Grizzlies are, and I told you on this very show, they're not going to win this game. I said that on Monday. They won't win this game against the Lakers, and here they are. They just beat the Lakers, as I record this on Monday night, 110-105. So that was it was a fun game. I didn't get a chance to go. I usually are obviously I'm at the games usually, but my son had a Cub Scouts crossover, and he got into his next rank, and so I stayed home to watch him do that. But I got back during the first quarter, just enough time to see Chandler Parsons hit a three and then make a shot in, and those were his only two shots. And so we'll talk about that a little bit more. But the Grizzlies, they played good. You know, they played really well. But the Lakers are just, they got a lot of problems. I mean, they have a lot of problems. Starting with the fact that LeBron James only scored 24 points in 40 minutes, 8 for 23. I mean, he had a triple-double, 12 rebounds, 11 assists is great, but the Grizzlies did a really good job defensively. I know Joakim Noah was calling to play defense on him. Joakim Noah took a charge, what was called a charge, late in the game to seal the cut, to kind of seal the game for the Grizzlies as well. And the last two games that they lost, you know, they just did not execute in the fourth quarter. They did not just play well in the fourth quarter, execute down the stretch. And tonight they were able to do that largely in part due to the Lakers. They went for like almost 8 minutes, I think, at one point from the third into the fourth quarter without scoring a field goal. It was very, very strange. But Joakim Noah had a great, great night. 23 minutes, 5 for 8, 4 from 6 from 3, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, and 14 points. Just really, really good game for him. And that is the Joakim Noah game that you need. I mean, you don't need him going out there and playing 30 minutes. And I always said, I don't like to classify or try to quantify energy and that type of thing, and I don't. But he does bring a lot of energy to the table, but I also, you know, say that when I don't classify energy, because you have to bring something else besides just energy. You can't just go out there and just be energetic. That doesn't work. So, but Joakim's network's bringing, you know, he brought a lot of rebounds, brought defensive intensity, had two blocks as well, had two blocks, I think, as well, or what I think it's, I thought I saw two. ESPN's box score is only showing one, but I thought it was two. But either way, had a couple blocks, assist, rebounds in double figures, points in double figures. So literally, you know, you bring the energy and you also bring stat lines like that, I'm a happy camper. Do I largely think Joakim Noah is a great player anymore? I don't know. But it sure is fun to watch him when he plays like that. I will be honest. So I will tone back the Joakim Noah slander for you guys that I know are Joakim Noah fans and really big on him. So I'll tone back the slander for a few days. We'll see how Wednesday goes for the Grizzlies. But again, I think that's the kind of the operable spot you want Joakim Noah, the minutes and the shots. You know, I think he can do a lot without the ball. He obviously is very good. He is a good defensive player. So that is the ideal spot you want Joakim Noah. Mike Conley had an amazing game as well. He had 30 points, 10 for 17 from the field, 3 from 6 from the from behind the arc. A couple rebounds, 5 assists. A very, you know, excellent game from Mike. And 17 shots is the leading shot attempts for the Grizzlies team, and that's what it should be. Mike Conley's your best player. If you want to win, and that is the a goal and the idea is to win games, and Mike Conley should be taking the most shots. Obviously, Jaren Jackson's no longer playing right now, so if he were back, he should be taking the second most shots. He's the second best player. Those are just the ways the shot distribution should work. I understand that that's not always how it works, and because a different the game breaks down different ways, but that's what you should strive for every single time. Jonas Valanciunas had a really good game again. He had a good game against the Cavs, but he was 8 for 15 from the field, 13 rebounds, 20 points. So both your bigs had a double-double. I mean, they combined for 34 points and 15 rebounds, or 25 rebounds, excuse me. I mean, that's impressive. Really and truthfully, that is impressive. And again, Jonas Valanciunas did all that in 25 minutes as well. It's not like he had a ton of minutes there. He did all that in 25 minutes. So though, I'm okay with Jonas. He plays 30 minutes. I think that's where you kind of want him to be, but I'm okay with he plays 30, 32 minutes because he's your starting center. I think that's probably okay. I thought he had a very, very good game, and I'm okay with him playing more minutes, but even more impressive that he did that all in just 25 minutes. Some other people that had struggled, Bruno Caboclo struggled. He had some good defensive moments. He had 27 minutes. I want to see 27 minutes for Bruno Caboclo every time, just because, you know, again, we've talked about on this show repeatedly, you have to make decisions on these guys. And I think Bruno will benefit from having those type of minutes. I don't think he had a great game. It was average. He only had 5 points and 5 rebounds, but he did some other things on defense that I liked. There were some open threes that he had. And if you Bruno, you got to make those open threes. I mean, there's one wide open three. Those are the threes you have to make to make it in the NBA as a career for the type of player that he is. Those are things you just got to do. He was 1 for 4 from three, had a few open looks. It just didn't go well for him. But I think he did some other good things on the floor. Chandler Parsons. I mean, Chandler Parsons has been pretty downright awful in the last two games that he has played with the Grizzlies, against the Cavs and against the Clippers. He's not been great. And he was 2 for 10 from the field tonight, and he was 1 for 7 from three. I mean, he doesn't look great. I know I talked on the show today on the idea of Chandler Parsons, what he could be. You know, he obviously is still taking some time there, to get, you know, become more, to get back in shape, obviously to get back accustomed to the game. So there is some time there. I think we should give him before just saying, okay, he is downright awful, but also wouldn't get your hopes up either. But like over the last three games, Chandler Parsons is, let's see, 4 for 34. I mean, that's pretty bad. If I'm doing the quick math on that really very, very quickly. Yeah. 4 for 34 from the field. That's awful. And that is just downright awful. And he had 19 minutes, and you know, he had roughly 18, 19 minutes every single game. Hopefully that's not at the detriment of other players. I know CJ Miles was not available tonight. And he's going to play minutes because Chandler Parsons and JB Bickerstaff are buddies. They are boys. And I told you guys that before, he was going to get minutes because of that. And he's going to continue to get minutes. And really hope it doesn't come at the detriment to other players. And I really hope he does not become the next Shelvin Mack. I mean, that is the last thing that this Grizzlies team needs, is for Chandler Parsons to become the next Shelvin Mack. Because you have to think about it, there were some times we all questioned, why in the hell was Shelvin Mack playing? Well, Jimmy liked him, and that's why he played. And so I think that's probably why you saw the Grizzlies send Chandler Parsons away, because I don't know if they wanted JB to play him. I think if they made him active, JB was going to play him. And so I think that's what you're seeing now. I mean, I'm still on the side of, you know, give him some time to become accustomed to playing in the NBA game. It's his third game back. But so far, not great. Again, 4 for 34, just not what you really, you know, not what you need from Chandler. So actually, excuse me, it's 4 for 24. I did do the quick math on that very wrong. I was looking at another line on one of the box scores, but yeah, 4 for 24, still not great for Chandler Parsons from the field for the last three games. Again, it is only three games, so I would caution us on the overreaction, but it is, you know, I have to come out here and we have to talk about these games every single day. So I think that's something that it's just something to note. It's something to take and stride and look at every game and just kind of see how he progresses. And hopefully he doesn't get back to where JB was playing Shelvin Mack, to the detriment of the team, to be quite honest. And you know, you don't want Chandler Parsons playing over someone like Bruno or someone like Ivan or you know, any of these young players that I know you know, hell, even Tyler Dorsey for that matter. Some of these young players that you need to develop, and especially in a losing season, that's really kind of what you're supposed to do. But again, the Grizzlies are trying to win, and they're going to continue to. If that's what JB thinks is the best course of action to try to win is to play Chandler Parsons, then I guess that's probably what he's going to do. So we'll see how that goes. But again, the Grizzlies, they got out with a win over the Lakers, something I did not see coming at all. And the Lakers, I mean, they have problems. They have a lot of problems. You know, LeBron James does not look happy out there. You know, Luke Walton is not a good coach at all. Don't understand why they are still committed to them. I know there's probably some owner and GM issues there over in LA that they probably are still, that's probably why they still have Luke Walton. Again, I don't know. I don't cover the team every day, but just looking from afar, I can't believe they still have Luke Walton there. People probably say the same about JB without understanding the circumstances as well here in Memphis. But coming up next, we'll get into the Tankathon and the backward standings and see where the Grizzlies stack up against other teams and talk about that for just a minute before we get out of here today. Welcome back to the show. The Grizzlies again win over the Lakers 110-105. Just wanted to talk about the Grizzlies Tankathon standings. Let's just see where they stack up. We have not talked about that yet on this show. It's something we'll probably continue to look at now. That's kind of where we're at in this stage in the season, because they want to convey this pick. That's been the goal that they have stated publicly all year. That's the kind of the goal that everybody has been rooting for all year, to get to that ninth spot so they convey that pick to Boston. So we haven't talked about it yet. So today all we're going to do is really just talk about just where the Grizzlies are at, other teams around them, and kind of where they might end up in the grand scheme of things at the end of the season. We'll probably continue to keep an eye on this and watch this, maybe just giving an update every couple of days of where they're at and where they're headed, and so we can kind of get an idea of what's going to happen in the offseason with the draft pick and with the draft and with the lottery and all that stuff. So that being said, the Grizzlies are sitting at sixth in the standings from the bottom. So they are right ahead of Washington. Washington is seventh, Washington Wizards. They are 24-36. The Grizzlies are 24-38. New Orleans Pelicans are the 27-35 in the eighth spot. Dallas in that ninth spot is 26-33. Just ahead of the Grizzlies in fifth is Atlanta at 20-41, Chicago at 16-45, Cleveland at 14-47, New York at 12-48, and Phoenix at 12-50. The Grizzlies have zero chance. I've not done the math, so I won't say zero, but I don't think they have a chance to get up in that top four of Cleveland, Chicago, New York, and Phoenix of 12, 12, 14, and 16 wins, respectively. I just don't think that's possible. I will actually do the math mathematically and come back with you guys on a different show and just tell you what it exists mathematically for via the rest of the season versus our games, everybody else's games, where they will land or could potentially land as high as they can at the end of the season. So I will do that, the legwork on that for you guys, and let you know here in the next few days as well. But Atlanta in the fifth spot at 20 wins. Again, I think they still can win some more games. I mean, you're looking at right now they're at 24 wins and separates Dallas and New Orleans in that eighth, ninth spot at 27 wins. You're talking 2 to 3 wins difference. It's not a big difference, and really not. There is still potentially the possibility they get to that ninth spot. Am I still a firm believer in that? It's getting less and less by the day. Over the weekend, that weekend really shook me. those losses to the Clippers and losses to the Cavaliers really, really shook me. And I started to really waver on what they might be able to do. I'm starting to think the most likely scenario is they end up in sixth or seventh where they're at right now. But I still, you know, there is a chance for them to get to that ninth spot and really just not have to worry about the lottery, and they can convey the pick no matter what. I mean, even if they end up sixth, they can still convey the pick. They can still catch a lottery odd and drop out to ninth. And so even if they end up sixth, seventh, and eighth, or wherever they're at, they can still convey the pick. They can drop out down to ninth, just like if they were in, you know, if they were in sixth, they could go up to, technically they could go up to fourth or third, or, I mean, it's a lottery. So there are still chances. You know, in the sixth spot, there's a 9% chance that you'll get the overall one, your number one overall pick. So, you know, there is a 37%, a little over 37% chance you get in a top four at the sixth spot. At the seventh spot, it's a 31 or 32% chance to get a top four pick. Eighth spot, it's 26% chance to get an eight pick, or excuse me, 26% chance to get a top four pick. So, you know, you obviously, the way the lottery works, I'm sure everyone knows, you can fluctuate up and down. I think the most likely scenario is they probably end up right where they're at in sixth or seventh, but I think that it's still possible to get to that ninth. You're talking about three, four wins that separates these teams. Obviously, those teams are going to win and lose as well. So it's not just strictly you get to win three wins and you'll get back to the ninth seed, because those other teams will lose or win or however that works. So I think it's still possible. I think there's 21 or 22 games left, but I think it's possible to get those wins. You know, obviously Cleveland over the weekend would have been a great start, but they win against the Lakers, a game I thought they would lose against the Lakers. They lose to the Cavs, a game they thought they would win. So for me, it all shakes out. They got the win out of those. That, you know, they went 1-1 of those two games, which I thought would happen either way. So that's really all that really needs to happen is you need to get a win out of one of those games. And so, you know, is it possible? Absolutely. It's still possible. It's starting to become less and less likely, just because now all the injuries are stacking up. We didn't even mention earlier in the first segment, Avery Bradley rolled his ankle tonight. I mean, he even finished the game, which was crazy to me, but he rolled his ankle and it looked so bad on TV. Like, I was watching from home and just his, like, the side of his ankle, like, hit the floor. And I can't even believe JB let him go back in the game after the fact. It's not smart coaching. Just take him. I mean, just sit him down for his own health. But he came back in the game and played anyway. He was short on his jumpers after the fact, which makes sense because his ankle hurts. So that makes total sense. But there's no reason for a hurt Avery Bradley to be out there. So there's no telling what will happen with him. It would not shock me if he's on the injury report and does not play in the next game, because when he rolled his ankle, it looked absolutely awful. And so, but if he does, you know, his ankles must be made of steel. And I would like to purchase a pair if he actually plays in the next game. So, if he does, great for him. But again, so my point is that I'm making is that the Grizzlies have a lot of injuries. And so those three or four wins are still going to be tough to get. Nothing's guaranteed. And that's why I said I was kind of shook of the weekend, and the idea of them getting to the 19 for me is wavering. And just because the injuries are starting to stack up, they're missing a lot of good players. And, you know, it's just tough. Every single night, you're not going to be able to play the Lakers, who don't really care about playing defense every night. That's not going to happen. So they do have a pretty easy schedule the rest of the way. So hopefully you would think they can get, you know, three or four more wins, but we shall see. Again, the Grizzlies win over the Lakers tonight, Monday night, 110-105. It was a good game. It was fun. And those are always, that's what you kind of want to see. I mean, we get a lot of questions about what to root for, what to watch for now that Jaren Jackson's going out. I mean, it was fun to watch. The Grizzlies, they had a good time. Joakim Noah was balling out. Jonas Valanciunas was balling out. I mean, and that's really what it boils down to. The game was fun to watch. And so hopefully they can get a few more of those games, because that's really what it's ultimately about. It's fun to watch your sports team play well. And even if those are players that you're not used to seeing, it's a good time to watch. And I think that's really what it boils down to for everybody. So hopefully they'll continue to get a few more of those. If you haven't already subscribed to iTunes, please do that now. If you haven't already left us a review in iTunes, please rate and review the podcast in iTunes. It really helps us. If you're not subscribed in iTunes, iTunes, or if you get your podcast another way, you want it every single platform, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, we're on all the platforms. So please subscribe wherever you're located. If you are unsure of where to go, just go to LockedOnGrizzlies.com.